Welcome to the Science of Parenting podcast, where we connect you with research-based information that fits your family. We'll talk about the realities of being a parent and how research can help guide our parenting decisions. I'm Mackenzie Johnson, parent of two littles with their own quirks, and I'm a parenting educator.
And I'm Lori Cordles, parent of three in two different life stages. Two are launched and one is in high school, and I am a parenting educator. And today we are wrapping up season six. And we've spent a lot of time talking about resilience, and we're going to wrap all that up. But today, we're really just going to kind of zero in on the research and reality around reflection.
Yeah. The end of season six, here we are. I feel like I always say, here we are. Here we are.
Are you there? Here we are.
Are you there? We're here.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So we haven't been talking all about resilience. You've heard us say in every episode, we know that kind of parenting through tough times and what those tough times are and how we experience them is all unique to each family, which is a big part of why we believe there's more than one way to raise great kids, right? And so we've focused all season on kind of what does the research tell us about resilience and how we can practice it, how we can raise resilient kids, and all of this stuff. And so we've focused in on that research that we think is really relevant for our own realities and that we hope you can use to kind of get through whichever tough times do come your way.
Exactly. And the idea of parenting through tough times really does come down to how do I continue to be that parent that I want to be even when things are tough? And we know everyone's parenting journey won't be easy, but we hope that we can fill your toolbox with lots of resources so that when you get to those tough times, you just open that toolbox right up and pull out whatever resource you know is going to work for your family in this particular situation.
Totally. And we hope that this topic of reflection, we're going to both talk about it as a tool for resilience and kind of, do it ourselves. We're going to reflect. You know, we've talked so much about the pandemic and how that has been a tough time for a lot of families, us included. And, you know, there were some positives and some challenges. And so we're going to do some reflecting on this kind of universal experience we all had of living and parenting in a pandemic, but also looking at how it was different for each of us. So, yeah, this reflection, that's what we're doing today. Reflection.
Yes.
And so we're going to look at this idea. And I got to be honest, I was like, okay, I need to find some research on the power of reflection and on mindful reflection and all these things. And I was like, you know, really, I think there's some research we've shared before, the ABCX family stress model, which we talked about in season two in our episode on stress, that one of the key things of family stress is our perception of stress.
Yes, absolutely.
Like how do we feel about it? And so, because some of us were like, well, sure, things were tough, but my perception of it was also, I'm so grateful for this particular thing because, right? And so that perception is a big part of it. And I think, I would argue, I guess, that reflection shapes perception. Like, and so that, you know, that idea of like hindsight's 20/20, it's like,
yes.
Well, okay, let's lean into that. Like, all right, if my hindsight is way better than my foresight.
Exactly, right? What can that teach me? What do I need to learn?
Yes. And so it's like, okay, you know, a lot of us might agree that we're kind of getting into this post-pandemic world. And so let's sit down, slow down, and reflect. And like, what do we learn from that? You know, and so I do. I just think, pandemic or not, like taking the time to reflect on tough times, I think can help us build our resilience.
And I think that that's a really important piece for me is pandemic or no pandemic, we all experience tough times and our perception of that tough time and how we got through it is really important to reflect on. So in the spirit of reflection for resilience, let's maybe share a little of our own realities, maybe some of our own reflections on other hard times. You know, when something didn't go well, what did we learn? How did we grow? What were some coping strategies that we used?
Yeah. Well, I feel like we've shared some kind of throughout the season, but Okay, so here's one that's kind of like, it's a normative stressor, but was a tough time nonetheless. When we added our second child to our family.
Definitely.
You know, that like newborn phase and all of that. And so as I think kind of on, you know, reflecting on those questions, you know, I see some ways that I really grew from my first child to my second in terms of I was a better communicator. I had kind of learned from the first time around, I like ask for help, you know, reach out, don't hide out, you know, and so I learned some of those things, but also in kind of slowing down and reflecting, it's like, okay, what maybe didn't go as well, or was there still to learn? I think the like relationship with my first child, and not that it suffered, but that like it needed to look different. And actually, even though my daughter is like almost five and my son is almost two, that she is actually in a phase where she's talking a lot about it. So she's reflecting a little bit and saying like, well, you used to put him to bed every night and not me. And you spend more time with him when you do this. And so she's kind of pointing some of those things out, which in the logical part of me, I'm like, my child is trying to communicate to me that she could use more connection. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really trying to like, it's not about what she's saying about her brother.
Exactly.
She's communicating a need for more connection to me. And so I think about that, like, okay, over the last 2 years, as you really, I mean, that whole time is kind of a transition into having two kids. But like, I'm like, okay, so that's an area where I'm like, all right, that's an area where we've maybe struggled and where I've maybe, my child has maybe had some unmet needs. It's like, okay, I can learn from that and grow from that and plan for the future. So
I love that.
I don't know. That's the one I think of.
I love that. It's so funny though. Sometimes when we have friends, family, you know, or whomever reaches out to us as parenting educators with the birth of a new child, they'll say, okay, you know, tell us about sibling rivalry. And one of my favorite things to say is, well, actually, not until the child realizes that their sibling is sticking around, do they end up kind of then starting to, you know, regress, have behaviors. You know, those first those first few weeks, months, whatever, they're like, wow, this thing's pretty cool. I kind of like having this little extra human being around. But not until they realize, like, they're really staying. They're here for good, right?
Yes. And my daughter has even said to me, like, recently, like, you know, Mom, I sometimes liked when it was the three of us, like Mom, Dad, and me. And I was like, oh, like, you know, it broke my heart a little bit. But I'm like, okay, what about that is appealing? Like, what about that feels different? Like, what is she trying to get at in terms of her need? Because, yeah, she's not going to say to me, like, Mom, I really need more connection with you.
Right.
But I do think that's what she's saying is like, you know, we do spend a lot of energy, my son being in the toddler stage, we spend a lot of energy like redirecting behavior and trying to keep him out of trouble.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, my daughter is expressing that sometimes maybe she's feeling like not as included or like wants more connection. It's like, okay, that's a thing. Like, instead of being like, oh, well, I did everything I could, it's like, okay, I was doing the best I could, and now I know more than I did. Like,
exactly.
My child is expressing a need to me. We can grow from that.
Yes.
What about you? What comes to mind for this, you know, hard time and or tough time, but good time that you reflect back on? You know, how did you cope? What things changed? How have you grown? What comes to mind?
So one thing that comes to mind for me, and actually much more recently, especially because someone maybe called, no, I don't think they called me on the carpet for it or my child for it, but it was something that was quite opposite of their own parenting. And that is that my daughter, my youngest daughter, who's in high school, she frequently calls her father and I by our first names. And to some that may seem, you know, very out of bounds, even like that is disrespectful. And you know me, I'm all about respect, right?
Yeah. So,
I reflected on this a lot, and this is a very personal thing, and I have actually shared it with a lot of people, but she began doing that in a time, probably 3 or 4 years ago in there, when I was distracted by a lot of things. I was probably hiding out instead of reaching out. I utilized my phone, my computer. I was making sure I was always super busy. You know, really just trying to not probably dive into or face the things that I needed to face in You know, specifically in the relationship with her dad. And so I know that there were many times where she probably said, "Hey, mom," and I didn't hear her, you know, didn't even acknowledge that. Yeah. And so in an effort to, like you said, make a bid for connection, reach out, get my attention, she began using my name. And I can remember the first time, or one of the first times that I heard it, that I realized, oh my goodness, she's using my first name because I'm not present. Like, I'm not paying attention. I'm so disconnected because of what's going on. I don't like this. Like, I don't like that this is me, the parenting educator, and her, my own kid has to use my first name, right? I should be fired.
No,
you know, lots of shame and guilt around that, right? But I really reflected on that, and I thought, you know, I actually need to allow this because I know myself well enough, and I know how prone I am to, you know, diving deep in down the rabbit hole and getting really absorbed in things. And I know that I am super good at not hearing the rest of the world while I am involved with something.
Yes.
And so while to some it may be a sign of disrespect that she's using my first name, for me, it actually gives us a chance to connect better because I'm present. She says, "Hey, Lori, oh, you know what? Boom. Like, I'm on." And I, you know, it is hard for me to say, yeah, mom wasn't that same, but after so many years of mom with so many kids, right?
Yes.
And so many neighbor kids and so many, you know, whatever. I mean, that's just, I'm just trying to make an excuse, but at the same time, not allowing for that connection. Oh, that's, you know, that's something I can't tolerate as well. So in order for that connection to be made, I'm okay 100% with her saying Lori. And it was because I reflected on that, because of the tough time that we were in and we're past that tough time, I still use that as a way to remind me, connect with my kid. She needs me, connect with my kid.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. You know, maybe like, oh, hopefully we don't get a lot of comments about how I know.
I gotta like regurgitate our science of parenting beliefs back to you for a second.
Okay.
And there's more than one way, right? Mm-hmm. That we are the experts on our kid, that your unique situation and your guys' experience, that this is what makes sense for you. And I'm going to tell you that you don't get to call it an excuse, because my kids, like, I haven't even been a mom for 5 years and I already feel like I'm starting to tune out. Mom.
Yeah.
I almost feel like that's a resilient skill. Like,
it is, right?
I get overstimulated. And so like, sometimes it's like, ooh, I got to learn to tune stuff out. That's a skill that I've needed to learn over time in order to hone in on things. It's like, okay, that could serve me, right? That tuning out mom was a skill that served you for a long time.
Yes.
Like, so that you could do the things you needed to do. And you're like, hey, you know what? That's not serving us anymore. Like, and so we've got a new way forward. And I do, I think as we, you know, that reflection piece of like, we're taking that time. I mean, kind of stop, breathe, talk, right?
Absolutely.
Stop taking that breath to think intentionally about what has happened, what is happening. And we're like, okay, this was tough. And like, look how we're bouncing forward. Like, we move forward in a more strengthened way with like new growth from these experiences. And I think that's a good thing. Resilience.
Yes.
Yes. And so we're going to keep going on this theme of resilience and kind of modeling this idea of reflection, but specifically with the idea of the pandemic. And so there's actually some really interesting research, and actually that's a little self-serving for me to say, because we actually get to cite some research that I got to be a part of in 2020 and 2021. We looked at parenting and the pandemic, but we're going to look at reflecting, like taking pause for a minute to model this idea of reflection. But there were some huge ahas that I got to have as we went through this data that I was just like, oh my gosh, parents need to hear this. Like, parents need to know that this is what happens in tough time, and that you're not alone, and that other people felt this way. And so we're going to look through all of that in the spirit of reflection.
All right.
So excited and proud to share about a little bit of our data. I got to work with Dr. Lisa Washburn and Dr. Janet Fox from University of Tennessee Extension. And we did, we were doing this webinar series, which our co-writer Barb was a part of. And we did this webinar series and we asked people, you know, some questions beforehand. And one of the questions was, how has the pandemic impacted your parenting? And we had thousands of people attend. For our particular session on parenting, we had 631 responses that were usable for what we were doing with our data. And it just gives such amazing insight into the experience of parents in the pandemic. And so there was actually kind of five themes. And this data was collected in October to November of 2020. So a little perspective on where we were in the pandemic. It wasn't like the first weeks, but it wasn't right. And so, yes, so last fall. So we had five themes that came out of the data. So people had one line to answer, how has the pandemic affected your parenting?
Yes, I remember that. I remember that. Yes.
Yes, one line to answer that.
I only had one line. And I was like, what?
What? Yes. And so five themes that came out of it. I'll kind of briefly just highlight what those themes were.
Okay,
the first, I'll say the first one was external factors. So basically that circumstances around families started to change during the pandemic. The second theme was the perceived parenting burden. So how were parents feeling? What were the things that were piling on for parents? The third one was family life changes. So how does your day look different and what kinds of things about how your family normally operates are different? The fourth theme was emotional toll. So what was the impact that this had on parents themselves? And then our fifth theme was kind of unique, and it was, we called it a spectrum of experiences. So that some people said, you know what, actually the pandemic was great. It did, absolutely, like it brought positive things to my family.
There and was some others positive were like, things, I agree.
Yes. And then some were like, you know what, nothing's changed. Like this is the exact same for me as it was before. While others were like, okay, holy cow, this is hard.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Ah.
Yeah. So that was the fifth theme, was kind of this highlight of like the good, the bad, the ugly, the wonderful, the indifferent. Mm-hmm. And then some unique experiences as well, like people talking about, well, I had a baby during the pandemic, or I was family caregiving for an adult parent, or I needed to grandparent way more because my adult children's job. And so, yeah, there was a huge spectrum of experience in the pandemic.
Okay. So looking at those five themes, if we, you know, step back just a little bit to the external factor, what were some things that people said about those external factors?
Yeah, some of the huge ones that came up about how circumstances changed was really about like virtual school, right? Oh. That was a huge one. Loss or like challenges related to childcare was a big one. And also like work situations, right? Working from home or not being able to work from home when everybody else was, or it felt like everybody else was. So yeah, that just kind of the external factors that the pandemic directly caused, like mask wearing or safety precautions. So that was a big thing that people were talking about, was like, it's impacted because my circumstances are changing because of the pandemic.
That's interesting. So, okay. So this was the parenting, how has the pandemic affected your parenting question of the workshop? Okay. So the second theme you said was the perceived parenting burden.
Yes. Yes. And this is the one that I was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. And so some of the things that people were talking about was, we actually like put them into three separate categories, but all lumped them together in the end. It was like people talking about, I'm being an employee while being a parent, right? That I'm trying to balance these things. Or people talking about like, it's hard to be a parent and my child's teacher. Or talking about, I'm trying to manage them during doing virtual school while I'm working. And so it was just this huge overlap of the things that parents now needed to do that they weren't doing before. They also talked about having concerns for their kids, right? I'm concerned about my child's social needs, or being worried that they weren't meeting their child's needs. Like somebody talking about like, I don't have the tools to deal with the things my child is dealing with. You know, and even a lot of like the unpredictability of it all and the changes that they had. And yeah, so just a lot of things that parents were like, these are all now on me, right? Another one being like that there was no me time. Like I am somebody
24/7.
Yeah, someone needs me constantly. Yes. And even like communicating, like, how do I answer my child's questions about the pandemic? Or yeah, that there was just like a lot of unknown. So there was a lot of things put on parents with the pandemic that it was like, okay, now I have to do this. Like, now I have to figure this out. I've never needed to enforce mask wearing with my kids before. I've never needed to, like, we've never had this much unpredictability in our schedule. Like, there were a lot of new things that were on parents to deal with.
Definitely. Okay, so then the third theme, this one is kind of intriguing to me, family life changes. I know that there are some friends of mine who have had babies. I know that there are some friends of mine who've lost loved ones. So those are huge family life changes.
Oh, absolutely. And people talked a lot about like the amount of time with their family that some reported, you know, I have less time with my family because I'm working more, you know, some like healthcare professionals and things like that. But also there were people who were like, there is so much time together. Or the idea of everybody being stuck in the house, right? That like normally they're at school, I'm at work, or they've got practice. All that's gone and we're all here all the time. Sure. And, you know, we talked about earlier this season, like the rituals and routines. There was a lot of conversation around that. Like, we have no structure. We have no normal. Like, when I have to choose when to get my kids out of bed every day, like, and so there was all of this kind of normal daily life stuff that was just all kind of out of whack. And so we saw that families were talking about that, but the pandemic, they're like, my normal family life is totally different.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Which then obviously the fourth theme of emotional toll, oof, you know, we definitely have seen an increase in mental health, you know, needs, as well as people just being exhausted.
Yes. The thing, so of course, the theme of stress, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm stressed, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. People also talked about being distracted. Yes. I'm really distracted by what's going on, or struggling with boundaries of like, I don't know how to stop working. Like, the work is always there. My, you know, my Microsoft Teams is going off every hour of the day. And then the emails ding, you know, so there was some stuff around that. But the other one that was a huge, like tons of people talked about, was I'm so impatient. Like, things that would normally not make me upset, I now feel like I can't even handle. And so I just thought, like, that is a thing that was happening to so many parents. And so I just, like, I just want to say, like, if it was you, right? If it was, if you have felt bad about the way things are going, it is a normative part of parenting through a tough time. Absolutely. And yes, we want to practice stop, breathe, talk, and do our best to have respectful and kind communication. But like, it happens in stressful times that we are low on patience. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Which is why we talk about the strategy of repair, right?
Exactly.
Stressed, distracted, tired, and impatient. Like, I probably am going to need to repair after that.
Absolutely. Repair, repair, repair. And it's okay to repair again.
Yes. Yes.
So then that last one, you spent a little bit more time talking about that spectrum of experiences. Any last bits from that theme?
I think just recognizing that, I mean, it comes right back to how there's a reason that parents are the experts on their family. Because while one of my friends was having a baby, another was worried about their sick parent, and I wasn't worried about either. And because everybody's situation is different. And so I think just that huge variety of experiences, and that some people were talking so much about grandparenting and like parenting their adult children and how that was different. And so that just recognizing that like there's more than one way because we're all having unique experiences. Yes. So that was a huge part of what we saw. And the data was like, holy cow. While some said no change, like, the pandemic has an impact on my parenting. Like, it's normal around here. And then others were like, I feel like I can't keep going, you know, that it was so different for everybody. And there was no right or wrong, right? That sometimes it's like, well, if you could just be positive. And it's like, well,
if you could just.
Yeah, if you could just. And it's like, okay, it's more complicated.
If we would just. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I love the opportunity to hear from so many other parents about their perceptions and their feelings and their, you know, just the descriptions they had about the pandemic specifically. But I actually think that, you know, if we took a little bit of time to reflect on that, gosh, we maybe actually think about tough times in the same, in a little similar way. We've had tough times before, and the tools we utilized during the pandemic were tools that we maybe had in our toolbox, or now we've experienced this pandemic, we've actually added more tools to our toolbox.
Absolutely.
So we're maybe a little bit more prepared for upcoming tough times. I don't know. What do you think?
I do. I definitely think so. And gosh, I mean, I feel like I'm almost might beat a dead horse, but this idea of the like wide variety of experiences also ties back to that. Like, I can take different skills out of the pandemic than you did. And like, absolutely, I can have different growth, you know, while I'm like, oh, you know what I learned? I really learned to practice self-care. I really learned whatever. And so and so is like, no, you know what I learned? Like, reach out, not hide out. You know what I learned? Like, and that they can all be different things. And actually, it's really hard for me to pare down because I could talk about what I learned from that, like from going through these responses forever. But there was kind of a series of responses that we clumped together as we were writing our article on it. And I just want to read a small snippet of it to everybody. So from the variety of experiences of parents, one person said, I really love the extra time with my kids. I'm immersed in their life in ways that I wasn't prior to COVID, and I feel like a better mom. But others described the impacts as both positive and negative coexisting, like the 24/7 togetherness without a release valve. I love that term.
Has
increased tensions and increased bonding. And then some, you know, said, had a more negative perspective of like, this closeness is exasperating, or we have too much time together. And I was just like, even a lot of the people who were participants work in the extension field, not all of them, but a lot of them are from the national extension system. And so even people who maybe have like a similar job, mm-hmm, like they could be similar in that way. And yet their experience was so vastly different. And yeah, so coming back to the, you know, what you were talking about, the tools that we each gain, the strengths that we come from, the experiences we had, were all different for each of us.
They were. And I feel like we maybe gave ourselves more permission to use those tools than we typically do in other tough times, or yes, we maybe gave each other more permission to utilize their tools. I sometimes even think we maybe were more willing to be more gracious to others and ourselves.
Yes.
It's like we suddenly were in this pandemic and now we can be nice to ourselves. Think, okay, that's what I want to learn and remember about tough times, is it's okay to be kind to yourself in any tough time.
Yes. Yes. To give ourselves and others more grace. I agree that that was a concept that we taught. I feel like was just, people were generally talking about like, we're extending grace. We're living in a pandemic. Mm-hmm. We're extending grace. It's like, okay, but what if we did that more? Like, what if we hung on to that permission as permanent?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I would love, what do you think? I would love to bring our writer Barb in and, or you thinking the same thing?
Okay, I was thinking the same thing.
Like, I think we should bring our writer Barb in because I have been asking Barb all season because she has a passion to speak and think about and dive into all things resilience. And so, Barb, I would like to ask you this question. What are you thinking?
I love the whole idea of reflection. I like the idea that it's how we learn. If we don't reflect upon what has happened to us, it doesn't give us the springboard to try something new or try something different. So the idea of reflecting, and especially during this tough time, I think it's pretty critical. And I can't believe how it flows from the other episodes that we've been delivering.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tons of overlap.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, looking back, if I were to reflect on things that stood out for me personally, like when you first started to share the research with me, I actually was affirmed when I heard other participants or other respondents say they were finding some joy and they were enjoying being with their family more, because it was kind of like my own little secret. Like, I was afraid to tell people, okay, like, I really like having my kids home. This is some opportunity that, yes, they're older, but I didn't get some of these opportunities when they were younger because I was always working so much and mm-hmm. they were at the childcare. And so I was kind of very shy and quiet at the beginning of the pandemic about I enjoyed having my kids home. And that was my own perception. And that was our unique experience, which completely doesn't, you know, not recognize someone else's experience, but that was my experience. And I was almost afraid to embrace it.
Yes. And yes, you finding positives in your guys's, your family's unique situation. And I even think of like the age of our kids are a factor on how it felt, the temperament of our kids, just staying inside and staying home. Yes. You're pretty good for what's our natural temperament, or is it hard? Like,
right.
And so I think of all of those factors that influence that. And yeah, that you finding positives is not minimizing the experience of others not finding them.
Exactly.
That's your experience.
And I go back to those C's of Ginsburg.
Yes.
And we hit those earlier this podcast season. But again, you were able to find ways to be caring to one another, to be finding those opportunities to connect. Yes. And then you know what else we all found through reflection, again, through reflection, we found the coping techniques that worked mm-hmm. for us mm-hmm. without blame or shame. You know what else we talked about? We talked about how the social supports that families might have needed prior and used prior to the pandemic, those social supports kind of went away during the pandemic mm-hmm. because we had yes. to. We had to socially distance from mm-hmm. friends and maybe extended family members who were that social support for us. And so we had more responsibilities given to parents. They had more roles taken on and less social support. And that created maybe some of that disconnect for mm-hmm. some parents and the
yes.
and the strife that they felt. But then we looked at the protective factors.
Yes.
The things that they found that were supportive, the things that they found they could do when kids were helping out in the kitchen a little bit more. Maybe they stepped up a little bit and helped with some of the chores. Yes. Kids learning those life skills.
Yes. The C is contribution. Yes. That's one of the seven C's. They can contribute. Yes.
Yes. And then they're learning character. You know, we yes. went through this tough time. And we developed an awful lot of character. But again, we can't see what that is if we don't stop and spend some time reflecting
right.
on what it meant to each of us. And I've enjoyed hearing your stories about what personally it was like for you with kids at home. And thank you for sharing those with us. It helps mm-hmm. it helps us see that not everybody's journey is alike, that we're all yes. unique. And so that we're all going to have a different journey.
Yes.
Yes. And I honestly, you know, as we're talking about like reflecting on the pandemic, one of the things that I realized from going through the data that was just like this huge, like could have knocked me out of my chair, this huge aha, was this idea of, they call it role overload. Mm-hmm. And so you talked about the decreasing, you know, we talk about the decreasing supports that families experience, but that the demands were increasing, right? So that right. perceived parenting burden, but that we were all of these things to all of these people. And honestly, all at the same time and all under the same roof in a lot of cases.
And like, without a lot of practice.
Yes.
You know, no we didn't
time
get
to prepare.
we didn't get a head start. Nobody told us this was going to be like this. And then I want to add, what if we didn't have access to internet? What if my family lived in a location that really broadband availability was not there? Then I had to worry about how far behind might my family be and my children be in school. So there were some unintended consequences that came. But in the midst of all of that, the data showed us that parents still found the blessings in all of it. They found that they did have time together. They found that they were able to share special moments. They connected with their kids in ways that prior to the pandemic, they may have lost opportunities. So, you know, you're right. There were positives and negatives. And I think the data that you shared, Mackenzie, showed us that parents were willing to tell us a little bit about both.
Yes. And I think you make a really good point too, Barb, that there were disparities between our experiences, right? That some people started in a safer place, right? We talk about like the pandemic, we were all in the same storm, but we weren't all in the same kind of boat. And the disparities that were widened by the pandemic because of the starting place that people were at. And that's something that our data didn't look at. Our data literally collected just like, you know, Barb, that it was one question, but it wasn't like, so what's your age? What's the age of your kids? What's your family income? What's your social economic status? What's, you know, your marital status? What's, and it, we didn't collect any of that. And so we, that's something that our study didn't look at, but that is a super important part of understanding the experience of parenting in the pandemic.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Oh, thanks, Barb.
You're welcome.
Actually, will you hang with us a little longer? We have another little research bullet that I would love to hear your thoughts on. Yes. So a findings, you know, we've been citing them all season. Prime, Wade, and Brown did the study on risk and resilience in COVID-19 for families. And one of the things that they found that kind of goes along with the findings of our study with myself, Washburn, and Fox, but they said that the experience of parents in the pandemic, people listed that there were threats to the health of themselves and their loved ones, the reductions in social support outside the home, changes to our work roles and or family routines, as well as the burden on caregivers to meet the social and educational needs of children with closure of school and childcare. Just like, whew, that's a lot, right?
Yes.
So I thought that just kind of highlighted what you're talking about, like the pandemic and the circumstances that were necessary, but that happened, we lost a lot of supports and we increased the demands on parents.
We did. And I think that as you look at, again, if we reflect on that, this is information gleaned from a pandemic. Are there some questions that we could ask ourselves as parents when we experience other tough times that can help us be more resilient, help us build our resilience in our children? And, you know, just look at things through this resilience lens.
Yes.
There's some questions we could ask. Yes.
There certainly are. We did this, you know, kind of bringing us, we did things a little different this episode. You know, we wanted to bring Barb in to just have this conversation about reflection and resilience. But yes, we also came up with a list of questions for reflection that you can use as parents, but that have a resilience lens. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you the first few and I'll let Lori give you the second few. So the first one, where did I succeed and what helped me do so? Right. Another one, thinking specifically about parenting, how did I meet the needs of my children even when times were tough? Where were there unmet needs of my children that I can help repair or even communicate about, right? Sometimes it's not about fixing it. Sometimes it's about repairing and explaining, but also just communicating, giving your child that space to process it. So a few things we can reflect on. What about a few more, Lori?
Another question you could ask is, where did I struggle and what did I learn from that experience? That one I really can resonate with. Where did I struggle and what can I learn from that experience?
And that for me is where that role overload, that's the one I think of there, is like learning about that term and that I was all these things to all these people. What did that mean? Well, what it means and what I learned is that, you know what, when the demands on me go up, that means I sometimes have to lower other standards. Right. Like I'm going to let go of the dishes and they're going to be paper plates. I've said that before.
Yes.
Or I'm going to let go of the clean house, or I'm going to let go of these expectations on myself. And so, we can learn from that. What about a few more?
Another question is, what coping strategies did I use? And then ask, were they helpful or hurtful? And as I heard people give each other grace, this is one where I thought that was a coping strategy. Like we're just giving people more grace. Was that helpful or hurtful? you know, and how can we take that pieces and parts of those things that were helpful and infuse them into other challenges and recognize the ones that were hurtful and pull back and say, oh, you know what? That was not helpful at all. Yep. In fact, that was kind of hurtful. I do hope and sense that the coping strategies that we use, that we can begin to recognize how to utilize them in other tough times. The final question we have is, what did I gain from this experience that has made me even stronger? The phrase that we talked about was falling forward, right?
Bouncing forward.
Mm-hmm. And it has made me stronger, these tough times that we have encountered, whatever that tough time is, and how can we tap into that strength for the next tough time?
Mm-hmm. You know what I think about? I think about when we started podcasting was right before mm-hmm. the pandemic started. And what we did at the Science of Parenting that I think showed an awful lot of resilience was that we continued to communicate what we were hearing from the CDC, mm-hmm. what we were finding as best practice for staying healthy. We shared those things. In other words, at the Science of Parenting, we placed a value on what we could communicate with one another. And I think families, that's what they did to respond yes. to the pandemic. They kept the lines of communication open with their kids. They tried to explain to their kids in ways that was meaningful without being scary. What was yes. going on? Why were mm-hmm. we having to socially distance? Why were we using masks? Why aren't we having that birthday party like we used to always have? What mm-hmm. you mean I'm not having my birthday party? They did so many, kept the lines of communication open so that kids could understand. And again, we continued to be attentive. We continued to meet the needs of our kids wherever they were at, including mm-hmm. what their temperament was like, right?
Right, yes.
So, you know, you talk about what the experiences were like or what coping mechanisms we used. The biggest thing I think, and I give a lot of credit to families for doing, is keeping those lines of communication open. So that kids could find resilience, so that families could stay resilient.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Barb.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Oh,
we loved having you join us this season. You have some great insight on this idea of resilience, and we just love hearing your perspective.
Well, thanks. I have enjoyed it, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks. Oh, yeah. So this whole idea of reflecting for resilience, you know, whether it's the pandemic or other tough times, but that when we kind of do that stop, breathe, talk of that, like slow down, think about how things went, we can use those reflection questions and that kind of resilience mindset of like, but I can come through this stronger, mm-hmm. And that I can have learned from it. So
yeah, I can bounce forward.
Yes.
You can bounce forward. So this season we looked at several R's around the idea of resilience, right? It was our R's. Yes. In our first two episodes, we explored the concept of resilience and we looked at protective factors. We learned that resilience is the idea of bouncing forward through tough times and that protective factors act as buffers against stress.
Mm, absolutely. And you know, we looked at lots of different strategies, you know, those first two kind of defined our season. And through the rest of the season, we've been looking at our R's of strategies, right? We talked about when times are tough, we can lean into our relationships and we can encourage our kids to lean into those connections and relationships. We can renegotiate our rules and our expectations when times are tough. We can utilize our routines to help us feel more consistency, even when things are chaotic. And we can utilize rituals to help us feel more connected during those times. And then we also know that patience tends to run low, right? We saw that affirmed or heard it affirmed in this week's episode.
Yes.
And so that we have the strategy to repair and reconnect, you know, and then finally that we do. As we come through on the other side and even during, I think of how much more I knew about myself in July of 2020 mm-hmm. than I knew in March of 2020.
Yes.
Because of all that we had been through right out of the gate. And so this idea of reflecting for resilience and of course, all season, we trickled it in here and there, but this idea of the seven C's of resilience, right? That helps us raise resilient kids of, you know, gotta say it. So confidence, connection, character, contribution, coping, control, and that we can build those with our kids to help build more resilience. So we hope you found value in this season and that, you know, you heard some things today and throughout this whole season on this idea of resilience and how we can parent through tough times, whatever they are, you know, that every family's going to look different and respond different. And then that's okay. The waters can be muddy. They can be, things can be good and indifferent and challenging, and that's all okay. But we hope you've filled your toolbox this season, right? For parenting in tough times.
Yes. And so that's the end of season 6. Resilience and parenting through tough times. We are going to take a short break. And then in season 7, we're actually going to be revisiting our topic on temperament and doing some deeper dives into it.
So yes, we're so excited.
I know we are. We're super excited. I was going to just blaze on by and not to, you know, try to overly, you know, talk it up, but okay.
Temperament. More temperament.
Yay. It's coming. So thanks for joining us today on the Science of Parenting podcast. And remember to subscribe to our weekly audio podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Watch the show on video each week or join us on Twitter at Science of Parent and see our content in your feed.
And yes, over the break, catching us on social media, you'll get to see some little throwbacks of temperament from season 1 that'll get your mind in the right mindset.
It will.
For this upcoming season. So yes, please do come along with us as we tackle the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and the research and reality all around the science of parenting.
The Science of Parenting is hosted by Lori Kothals and Mackenzie Johnson, produced by Mackenzie DeYoung, with research and writing by Barbara Dunn Swanson. Send in questions and comments to parenting@iastate.edu and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. This institution is an equal opportunity provider. For the full non-discrimination statement or accommodation inquiries, go to www.extension.iastate.edu/diversity/ext.